But first, there's a locally written play called Age of Bones showing at the moment at Brownsmart. And it's about an Indonesian boy being jailed in an adult prison in Australia after he was picked up crewing a people smuggling boat. Now, in the play, the boy isn't able to contact his family, and they just think that he went fishing and never came back. It's a tale that's told through live action and also through puppetry and fantasy sequences, but the issues at its core are very real, especially for local barrister Lima Nguyen, who joins me now. Now, Lima, this play is designed to make people think about these issues and about human rights from a different perspective, maybe than they're used to, and we'll get to some of those issues soon. But first, this story connects to your background a bit as well. Can you tell me your dad's story?
Yes, I was born in a refugee camp, and the background to that was that my father and my mother had left from Vietnam by boat. My father was actually the captain of the boat, and there was a boat full of people who he had taken from Vietnam towards Indonesia. It was quite a perilous journey for them, and I've taken some time to document that story from my parents. But they were on the high seas for about 5 days and five nights, and eventually they were rescued off the coast of Indonesia by people who were staff of a US oil rig. My mother was helicoptered to the mainland of Indonesia, where I was born on Cuckoo Island refugee camp. With that kind of background, the play did resonate with me because one never does forget where one has come from. And that, of course, has been a part of my own shaping of my political views on issues that have been continuously debated in Australia, such as border protection, the rights of asylum seekers, and how the Australian government has dealt with the punishment of people smugglers and offshore detention policies and so on.
Now, you're a lawyer, a barrister here in Darwin, but you found yourself at one stage on the other side of the argument in the DPP for Australia, prosecuting these types of ideas, or at a time when there was a lot of prosecution of these types of ideas.
Yes, that's right. Before I joined the private independent bar, I was a lawyer working with the Commonwealth DPP. Now, of course, the Commonwealth DPP is an independent prosecution agency, but any
As in
prosecutor.
supporting the, you know, ex prosecuting the law, not it's not a government
That's right,
prosecuting government policy. Yeah.
or rather, is an agency that determines matters which. It will prosecute based on strict guidelines and in accordance with law. But the problem, really, in my mind, is about the laws itself, and that problem is actually at a higher level and at the level of those who make the laws.
So where did that present some difficulties for you working for the DPP and coming from where you came from and feeling the way you feel?
Well, during my time at the DPP, I worked in national office in Canberra, and in particular, there was a brief period of time that I was working in the people smuggling branch. Back in those days, around 2008, 2012 in particular, the people smuggling was one of the most time-consuming case loads nationally for the office, and that has changed since then, but working with this kind of offending, I personally, of course, I was a government officer and I was always doing my job professionally, but personally, it made me uncomfortable because when I look at the situation of my family and when I look at the people smuggling offences under the Australian Migration Act and the conduct that it sort of captures, there is a lot of resonance with where I came from. And just to delve into a little bit more of that for context, for someone to be captured under the people smuggling offence, what's needed to be proved is that they facilitated the entry into Australia of five or more unlawful non-citizens. That simply means people who don't have visas to enter into Australia. And most of the people smuggling cases that were being dealt with were prosecutions of crew members. So people who had quite lower level functions, such as cleaning the boat's engines or cooking noodles for the passengers. But still, they were captured under that legislation. And this also, to me, didn't align with the international conventions on people smuggling, which specifically require an element of exploitation or financial gain. But the large composition of people who were being prosecuted were not the key organisers who were obtaining massive financial gain. What made me feel uncomfortable with it was considering my father's situation. He facilitated the entry of non-citizens into another country. And although it wasn't travel to Australia, had Indonesia had the same sort of legislation, he could have been prosecuted and punished for that conduct, and life could have been very different.
And it's into these web of laws that the story of the play Age of Bones kind of travels. And it has a particular story and a particular legal situation. But for you, this opens up broader ideas that you think we should be thinking about, that Australians should be thinking about. In particular, I guess, how different Australian law is to international law.
Yes. One of the major issues that the play depicts is the prosecution of juveniles. Now, it depicts a case where the system got it wrong, because juveniles were not to be prosecuted. However, there were people being prosecuted who claimed to be juveniles and whose age could not very well be proven. And what was used back then was wrist x-ray evidence, which has proven not to be that reliable. But the play really shows the human side from the perspective of the family of a particular juvenile who didn't return. It depicts his time in an Australian prison on remand, accused of people smuggling activities. It really depicts, the language barriers and the misunderstandings that gave rise to his inability to contact his parents for a long time. And eventually you'll see, hope not giving too much away, but eventually you'll see that he does have some legal representation, and they then go to Indonesia to obtain proof of his age. And that's not an easy thing, especially when you live in a village somewhere and, you're not issued a birth certificate. So that had to come by way of affidavits from people who knew him growing up. But it also depicts, from a legal perspective, the onus of proof for proving age was difficult for those claiming to be juveniles as well. And I guess one of the most draconian things about the people smuggling offence framework is that there is a minimum mandatory sentence of imprisonment of 3 years for those who were prosecuted and found guilty, and 5 years for repeat offenders. So there was no real incentive for people to plead guilty, and there was also a large number of cases going around the country where people were found guilty and the courts had no discretion as to their personal circumstances for the purposes of sentencing.
How much has Australian law moved on this issue in the last, say, 10, 20 years?
In 2012, the Attorney General at the time made a directive to stop the prosecution of crew members. I believe that directive was revoked a couple of years later by the next Attorney General. And it really shows just how politically driven these kinds of issues are. I think that one of the issues that really is highlighted by all of this is the issue about the rights to seek asylum as well, because of course these people who were prosecuted for taking people to Australia were taking asylum seekers to Australia. And then we look at the way that asylum seekers are being treated in Australia on account of their mode of arrival. We've spoken about the deviations from international law, and that is one clear deviation that can be seen very, very well in the way that the Australian government plays this issue out.
And an argument might be, well, we've got every right to do that. We are a sovereign country. We can make laws that suit our perspective, even if they are politically driven. They're driven in that way because it's the will of the people at the time. So what's wrong with that?
Well, Australia is a state party to the Refugee Convention. The Refugee Convention contains some customary norms about the rights to seek asylum. And one of those norms is that a person who has a well-founded fear of persecution for a convention reason has a right to seek asylum. That is, they have a right to leave their country and seek asylum in another country, regardless of their mode of arrival. The modality of travel is not something that someone should be punished for, and it's actually specified. So that's one really key deviation, because you see all these policies about offshore detention, which have such devastating impact on people.
But they're also there to deter people from a very dangerous boat trip. That's the argument, isn't it? And to some extent has been successful.
Well, there's always push and pull factors, and people are, it's not easy to say what these particular individual circumstances are. But if someone is truly fearing persecution, they are going to leave their country. And just getting a little bit more away from the law, my own observations are that those who have the courage to leave everything they know behind in those circumstances are going to be the same people who have the courage to contribute significantly to the Australian community, because those are the people who have the drive and the motivation to get themselves out of adversity.
Thank you so much for speaking to us today and for bringing your dad's story to us as well, and your personal story and your reflections on this play that's showing in Darwin at the moment. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
Darwin barrister Lehman Nguyen. And the play we're talking about is Age of Bones, and it's showing in Darwin until Sunday night, I think, at Brownsmar Theatre. It's 7 to 6 on ABC Radio Darwin.
Thank you.
Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry on ABC Radio.